If you have a fax for Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye, send it to him at area code 702-727-8499. 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now, here again is Art.
Once again, here I am. My guest is Barbara Marks Hubbard, and she'll be right back to take more of your calls for at least 30 more minutes. If you listen carefully to the words of that, it sort of fits right in with what we're talking about this morning. Good morning, I'm Art Bell. All right, very quickly, Barbara, a fax. Barbara, the last 2,000 years of recorded human history is the best indicator of the path that mankind is following. If the world was going to embark on this happy global consciousness, it would have happened a millennium ago. The world grows more divided and complicated every day. Comments?
Well, I think that it certainly is growing more complex. But on the other hand, I don't think it's growing more divided. I think that there's far more connection on a planetary scale than ever existed 2,000 years ago. I mean, we now know that our environments are linked, our defense systems are linked, our communication systems are linked. Despite ourselves, we're being integrated into one whole living system. And in that system, there's a lot of pain. But the fact is, we're feeling the whole pain of the whole body. If a child is starving in Somalia, we feel it. If there's a war in Iraq, it's in our living room. This has never existed before.
Mm-hmm. Okay, back to the lines. First time caller line, you're on the air with Barbara Marks Hubbard. Where are you, please?
Is that me?
That's you, although only you know that for sure. Where are you?
I'm in Kalispell, Montana. Well, out of town in a cabin in the mountains.
Wow, okay.
Barbara, first I wanted to say my heart really felt very warm happiness for the first time ever in my life, and I'm 55, to hear someone speak and say aloud publicly the things you have, and they are true. We can travel consciously out in the universe. If we dare to question, if we dare to ask for the knowledge, it'll be given, if we dare to experience. Somebody give me a bumper sticker about 7 years ago up in the mountains, and it said, "Excuse me, my karma just overran your dogma." I don't mean it to be sarcastic, but the visions, as you said, I was raised very, very strict Orthodox, and there was more hatred expressed everywhere I've lived in this country over religious differences, over disputations, which is ridiculous because we're no lower than the highest and we're no higher than the lowest because we can be either with one thought.
I agree with you.
All right. We appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Barbara Marks Hubbard. Where are you? Hello there.
Is this? Hello.
Yes, it is.
Art?
You. Yes.
I'm listening to KNZZ out of Grand Junction.
Colorado, all right.
Yes. Barbara, thank you. You're one of the spirits that's touching my heart. Consider this. I'm a principal of the Sundance religion, which is a Native American religion.
Mm-hmm.
We are earth gardeners. We have been waiting for millennium to be able to pass the information that it is indeed now time for mankind to understand what it means to take care of the earth and to garden the earth. And we have been turned from our principles of understanding the spirit into a selfishness, a sheep-like condition, as illustrated by one of the gentlemen who called you earlier and talking about being saved. If we destroy the earth, who's going to save us?
Well, an awful lot of Native Americans are building casinos as fast as they can.
That has nothing to do with the earth.
They're
simply individuals, Art. Consider this. A warrior becomes a hunter looking for flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And if that can be a reality for the minds of humanity, then I do believe we still have a chance. I'm I don't want to give in totally to the devastation that mankind has caused. I think that we do have alternatives that we haven't explored yet.
Well, then you surely agree with Barbara, and frankly, I'm happy to hear an optimist on the air, and I'm glad you're here, Barbara. I don't know that I agree with you, but I'm very pleased to have you here.
Well, thank you, Art.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Barbara Marks Hubbard. Hello.
Hello.
Where are you?
This is Galana. I'm calling from Boston.
Boston, all right.
First of all, I have to say, Art, earlier, well, you refer to, hello, Barbara, by the way.
Hello.
You refer to Barbara as a potential optimist?
An optimist with regard to our potential. How's that?
However, you refer to yourself as a pragmatist.
Yeah, I think I'm pragmatic.
Well, see, all pragmatists, or all pessimists refer to themselves as pragmatists.
Well, that's perhaps because a good, honest, I don't want to put a dent in all of this for Barbara. Let her do what she's doing.
I think that there's a new pragmatism, because it's not pragmatic to say that we're all going to die.
I'm not saying that.
No, I'm not saying you are. But that pragmatism has to be based on something that would actually work toward a life enhancement. So to be pragmatic means you find something positive and make it work.
Well, to me, pragmatic means that I look at current trends and come up with a very different answer than you have.
But you don't think it's inevitably going to total destruction,
well,
do you?
You recall the little red light, don't you, that I talked about?
Yes, right.
Yes, I think we have passed the point of no return. Now, that doesn't mean that I think the world is going to end. I simply think that there is going to be very large change.
Well, there we agree, Art.
And a lot of people are not going to make it to the other side.
That depends on what we do. It could be very painful or it could be less painful. And my image is birth. Birth is painful. We're going to change. Nobody can stop that now. It's a question of, are we going to do it very painfully or are we going to do it more cooperatively?
Well, there we agree. Caller, anything else?
Barbara.
Yeah,
I wanted to tell you that I find myself admiring you a great deal, particularly in the way that you handled the gentleman who insisted that Jesus Christ would save us. As a person with a very strong Jewish identity, I found that a bit hard to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And your response of thanks was wonderful.
Thank you.
And my question is, as a 24-year-old woman in the depressive Gen X kind of state, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you are the I have, my granddaughters are now in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there is a new woman coming forth who has within her the creativity to express her love in her community, in her society, in her world. And she can choose to have children, and children becomes a vocation.
Mm-hmm.
Or she can choose to give birth to her own life purpose and not have children, and that's also a vocation. Do you have children? Do you want to get...
No, she's already gone. But I tell you what, I want to bring up the other side of this.
Okay.
A woman now can... In fact, women in America, for the most part, are now choosing not to have children. Generally, they are entering careers. They're becoming very much like men have been, career-oriented, goal-oriented, economic satisfaction oriented. They frankly have become what men are, or they are becoming what men are, and I don't see how this leads to a consciousness raising or back to family values or anything else. It's going exactly the opposite way.
I'm not saying that women are becoming like men. What I'm saying is that as women have fewer children, the maternal instinct is moving out in a more loving way into the world. I'm not speaking just of being competitive professionals. I'm speaking of being creative nurturers of life. And I think millions of women are shifting in that direction. And some of them may be professional and some of them may not.
Most of them are trying to break through the glass ceiling.
Well, I know that there's also the need for, you know, two incomes in a family, and women obviously want to have equal rights with men, but we don't want to have equal rights on the Titanic.
Well said. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Barbara Marks Hubbard. Hi.
Hello, my name's Heather, and I'm here in Vancouver, B.C.
Hi, Heather.
Hi. I actually called in when you were talking with Greg Braden, which is kind of what led me into this call.
Yes.
And he mentioned Barbara Marks Hubbard when I called, actually,
yes,
when I talked about conscious evolution. Barbara, I really want to thank you. I was at the Western Unity Retreat at Miracle Mountain on Whistler Mountain back in 1985.
Oh, my goodness.
When I was 19 years old, and
uh-huh,
I'm now almost 32.
Mm-hmm.
And your name came up tonight, actually, because in a business I'm involved in, we were talking about creating a vision for your future.
Mm-hmm.
And from your workshop, I realized that everything that I had in my vision has come true. So it was very exciting to share with people in the group how, when you set a vision, it really can happen.
Because that's it.
I'm a testimony to that. I know we're moving into conscious evolution, and Greg Braden was talking about that, and I was saying that we were kind of getting our training wheels taken off, that evolution up until this point has been on autopilot, and
yes,
now is that why maybe we're causing all these crises? We wake up and access our potential, otherwise we would never, we're getting pushed out of the nest, so to speak?
I think so. I mean, I think that Mother Earth herself is sending signals to us that we have to become more cooperative, more connected, more aware, and that if we don't, it'll be very serious, just like Art says, it's already very serious. But because these signals from our environment mainly are very dangerous, there is an awakening occurring. And I've read Greg Braden's material, and he certainly indicates there's going to be a whole change in the earth energies. And here's a very interesting thought, that as we become more resonant, that is to say, more aligned and loving one another, it actually affects the energy of the earth itself.
I believe that. Absolutely. I just wanted to thank you so much for being such an amazing inspiration for me all these years, and
thank you.
For your marvelous, and I see you're starting your peace room on the internet.
That's correct.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Art.
Take care, and thank you. First time caller line, you're on the air with Barbara Marks Hubbard. Hi, where are you, please? Hello? Going once, going twice. Gone. Wild card line, you're on the air with Barbara Marks Hubbard. Where are you, please?
I'm in Southern California.
Welcome.
Hi. Is it perhaps true that the current conditions that we're facing are a consequence of 2,000 years or so of many, many generations reading Christian dogma, which says, prophesizes the end of the world, and that by dealing with time as a reality, that the culminating of this millennium, people are kind of have it in the back of their minds that time is short and that they're going for all they can get without regard for the future?
It's a very, very good question, actually.
It is a good question, and I think that the story, the Judeo-Christian story that ends in the Armageddon scenario in the book of Revelation, has been very influential in people's thinking. And I wrote a book called Revelation, in which I said that the alternative to Armageddon would be a planetary Pentecost. It would be a time on Earth when millions of people would hear from within, in their own language, the inner words of Spirit. And I don't think Armageddon is inevitable by any means. But I do think that that story has had a major influence, and that we need to have a new ending to the story. And the new ending is a new beginning. I believe that the New Jerusalem is a poetic intuition of the next stage of evolution.
Mm.
Because I actually believe ultimately we will move beyond the animal body. We'll move beyond the illusion of separation. We will be, that evolutionary process is going to select for those able to connect to the deeper reality.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Barbara Marks Hubbard. Hi. Where are you, please?
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City. All right. Did you feel the earthquake?
No, we didn't.
Yeah, you had an earthquake.
We detect those, too. We get, what, 300 a year?
About 4.5 on the Richter, not too many miles from you. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
Well, golly, I'm in complete agreement. I don't know what to say, but except that this does seem to, I think it has something to do with the electromagnetosphere also, and what being that we are somewhat biochemical. people, the transducers of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And this fits right on in with our conscious level, and I've felt nothing but an enlightenment for the last quickening time here. My parents spoke of this in 1954, told me about it since I was 6 years old, and I've been searching basically for the unified field theory in alliance with the science and spirituality combined. And I believe that's where we need to go, and we will verify. Well, we have to verify God, look around you, what do you have, you need any greater verification than that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're given the ability to create, and if we sit back and just wait for God to do it all, it's a little bit blasphemous and terribly unappreciative to expect more after this life, after being like that.
Right. One of the ways I put it, it's the eighth day of creation.
Yes.
On the seventh day, God rested. On the eighth day, humanity has to wake up and see that we've been created to be responsible, but not responsible out of hubris or separation, responsible in alignment with the deeper process of creation or with God.
Well, we have to get rid of our egos and great self-esteems.
Yes.
Because it blocks our empathy levels.
Exactly.
By the way, I am working on a device that can create matter out of supposedly antimatter. I won't go into it in any depth right now.
Well, you call me back about that one.
I'm going to send you a fax, and I'll send you one too, young lady.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much for the call. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Barbara Marks Hubbard. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hi, where are you?
I'm in Seattle.
Seattle, all right.
Yes, Barbara, I wanted to ask you, in mentioning the Creator, the man who talked about God a while ago.
Yes.
How can we deny the existence of a God when this whole thing we call life and this whole world that we know is in such a delicate balance?
I do not deny the existence of God. I believe that there is a divine intelligence, that there's no way that this universe could have emerged with all this beautiful order by random accident. I believe that it's not accidental. There's a deeper design, and you can call it God, you can call it higher power, you can call it spirit, you can call it the implicate order of evolution, but I agree with that, and I feel that we are ever more able to attune to that as we evolve in consciousness.
But that's not enough for you, is it, caller?
No, it's not.
Uh-huh.
It isn't one. Why is that enough? What more are you asking?
Well, I just don't believe that you mentioned we would get away from this animal body. Is that what you just said here?
I said eventually. Yeah, we already are. We're building. You can get new parts. You can get a pacemaker.
Well, yeah, that's man. That's man's doing.
I'm saying.
I'm also a Christian. And I firmly believe that I was created in the image of God,
mm-hmm.
not in an animal. I don't believe that we can believe part of the Word of God and not believe the other half.
All right, caller, I wish we had more time to pursue this with you, but we don't. Barbara, I do want to ask you, your book, where can people get it?
Well, I think they can get it in any bookstore, and I'll give you the phone number of my office to order it.
Please do that.
It's 415-454-8191.
8191.
Yes. Well, Art, thank you very much.
It has been an absolute pleasure and very interesting.
I know that you didn't want to be compared with me, but I enjoyed it very much.
Uh-huh. No, in a lot of ways, we believe the same things.
Uh-huh.
We just perhaps envision a different outcome. But that's what makes life interesting.
And you know what, Art? We need both. We need to have the true facts here. I would never want to deny that. And we have to build on that the most positive future we can.
Barbara, thank you.
Thank you, Art.
And good night. Again, that phone number for the book, folks, is area code 415-454-8191. That's 415-454-8191. When we come back, it's open lines, anything goes. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
to talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. To reach Art from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
Once again, I would like to thank the people of Los Angeles and New York City for making us number one. Survey's just out. We're Coast to Coast AM is number one in Los Angeles and New York City, and we'll kind of follow as the rest of the surveys come in nationwide. But thank you. Pretty cool, huh? I've got something coming up in a moment that is going to totally freak you out because it did me. So prepare yourself. That's all I can say. Prepare yourself. How's that?
Back to the best of Art Bell.
Well, all right. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to talk to a fellow named Joe. Joe is, in fact, a friend of the man who calls himself the Wave Rider. We received a total of three literate, articulate communications from somebody who claims to be, in effect, a time traveler. He calls himself the Wave Rider. And Joe in Texas, in Austin, Texas, has sent me a fax, and he has included the code words that I might know who I'm speaking to. I'm not going to tell you what those code words are, but I know that he's the real McCoy. But before I proceed with what I'm about to do, I think I need to get Joe's permission, in effect. Joe?
Yes.
Joe, because what we are about to discuss, potentially, and if you tell me not to do it, we will not do it, is in the blacked out portion of the fax from the Wave Rider, I thought I better scare you. I've already done that. I better get from you, in effect, permission to discuss what you have written in this fax, because it does reveal a portion of the blacked out part of the Wave Rider's communication.
No, I think that actually that it's important to do that now.
You do.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. All right. Then hold tight, and we'll be right back. Keith Rowland, if you are listening, minus name, identification, and so forth, would you please take the Wave Rider fax, the one that is relevant that I am about to discuss, and remove the blacked out portion and put it back on the website? You'll understand why when I read the following. Art, this is Joe, and I've got a last name, in Austin, Texas, the friend of the Wave Rider. I just joined your show tonight at 1:30 a.m., that'd be Texas time. You scared me. Remember that in the first fax that the Wave Rider sent you, in the area blacked out at his request, he warned you about this UFO that you are reporting on tonight. He told you then that the RAF, Royal Air Force, would send this UFO stuff to the USA. He said that the RAF would send info and samples of a triangular, listen closely folks, a triangular UFO to our Pentagon. He also warned that this would somehow lead to the deaths of hundreds of people. I do not know how this is to happen, but I am worried. Now, let me read you what I have, all right? This comes from Cause, C-A-U-S, dated 27 April 98. The headline is 24,000 mile per hour UFO buzzes Britain. Now listen carefully. The RAF has tracked a UFO as big as a battleship off the coast of Britain, military sources revealed yesterday. They said the massive craft was tracked flying a zigzag pattern at 17,000 miles per hour over the North Sea. It then accelerated to 24,000 miles per hour and zoomed off toward the Atlantic. The Dutch Air Force also tracked the UFO, but two F-16 fighters scrambled to intercept the object were unable to keep up, it is claimed. RAF officials are said to be baffled by the object, spotted by the Ministry of Defense long-range listening station on Flanders Moor in North Yorkshire. Quote, "It was definitely under control, judging by the various maneuvers executed," said a source. "It appeared to be triangular and was around the size of a battleship about 900 feet long. Radar records of the craft are due to be presented to science and military experts around the world who will examine how to exploit space for military purposes at a conference at RAF College, Cranwell, Lincolnshire, in June. Other tapes of the UFO, thought to have been made during the last 2 years, are being withheld because they give too much information about the radar base's scanning ability. However, military chiefs may release a second series of tapes reported to show 12 UFOs changing shape in mid-flight." Now, welcome back again, Joe.
Thank you.
Do you want to update the audience on the situation with the Wave Rider and what you suspect?
Well, really what I suspect right now, I'm not certain. He's disappeared. He has always contacted me weekly for the period of the last at least a year. And we've always had an agreement that if he didn't contact me for 2 to 3 weeks, then I need to just assume that he was lost and I was to move on. In the past year, I've spent a lot of time talking with him about his life and actually watching him as he literally travels in time before my eyes. It's been amazing. And he is now gone for, I don't know, three weeks or so. It was the 6th of April, the last I spoke with him.
Too long. Do you consider that what was at the top of his fax in the blacked out area and what I just read, do you think they could be a coincidence? Is there any possibility that this could be a coincidence?
it would be a heck of a shot in the dark, wouldn't it?
That would
be crazy. I don't think it could. You absolutely scared the life out of me when I turned the radio on and there you were reading about that story.
Well, so then that portion of that fax, then I think at this point can be revealed, or at least Keith can take the block away from just that portion. My God, we've had that posted up on the website now.
Well, I was the one that, at his request, actually went someplace and faxed it off to you.
Do you recall the date that you faxed that?
No, it was. Geez, it was February something.
I think it was back that far.
It was quite some time ago.
The similarities in what he described would occur and what has just occurred are chances of that being random, one in a billion or something.
It certainly seems like it. It never ceases to make the hair stand up on my arms when he would tell me something and then a few days later that it would actually happen.
Do you think he is, if you make your best guess, do you suppose that he is he has escaped, or
no, I think he has been either captured, or unfortunately, I think she maybe have been killed. I know, or I feel that, as close as he had gotten to my family, that he would have given us some information just to say that he was safe, just to say that he wasn't going to be, in, as he called it, endangering us any longer. And if Martin, if you're out there, please contact somebody, let me know. But I don't think he is. And that's why I've faxed you several times, because he and I had talked in the last few weeks before he disappeared entirely about trying to write out a lot of his information and get it out into the public, because he was starting to feel that he wasn't safe any longer and that he was endangering me and my family. And I told him I believe that the only route to safety open to him was absolutely going public with everything he knew. And I'm afraid that might have been what caused these problems with him, his disappearance.
Anything else you want to get on the air?
It's just amazing to me that these things have happened, and there's so much more. I wish I had information that I could give you that, you know, could help, but...
All right. If he's in touch with you, please be in touch with me right away.
Oh, I will.
All right. In the meantime, I hope that we're not breaking a confidence by what we just did.
I don't think so. I know that he knew how I felt about going public, and we talked about it, and that he knew that if ever we were out of touch, that I was going to contact you and send information to you or give what information I could.
Well, this scares the hell out of me, too. So that makes two of us. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Take care. So, I don't know if Keith heard all of this, but if you did, Keith, go back to the first fax and unblack the portion that we just discussed, and I will forward to you, Keith, the story that I just read to you from Cause. A little too much coincidence for my taste, thank you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Charles in Tampa.
Hi, Charles.
Weird.
Too weird, frankly. That one really blows my mind.
When I read those faxes on the website, a lot of times what they say isn't weird, but I don't know, they just make me feel, like I'm through the looking glass somehow.
Through the looking glass. You know, I mean, we're going to pull the black portion off of this and go ahead and include it, but there is no way in my way of thinking that this fellow could have called what I just read. No way.
No, and it's, I don't know, I think about some of the other things in those faxes.
I know.
Things I don't really want to be true.
I know. I wish this hadn't happened. I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. I want to read this one more time. I read this earlier tonight. It's a lighter moment. We need some lighter moments. Seattle, Washington. When a man attempted to siphon gasoline from a motorhome parked on a Seattle street, he got much more than he bargained for. Police arrived at the scene to find an ill man curled up in a fetal position next to a motorhome near some spilled sewage. A police spokesman said the man admitted to trying to steal gasoline and plugged his hose into the motorhome sewage tank by mistake. You can kind of draw a mental picture on that one. The owner of the motorhome declined to press charges, saying that it was the biggest laugh that he'd had in years. Now, the whole thing conjures up a bit of a mental picture, doesn't it? You can see him approaching the motorhome stealthily, approaching the motorhome, opening what he thinks is the gas tank, taking, no doubt, his little siphon hose and putting it in until it connected with some sort of matter. And then, well, you know how it goes, right? You got to get the, gas flowing. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing?
Well,
sounds
I'm...
like he was trying to commit sewage side. So I'm curious, with the technology we have as far as the pictures on Sardinia,
yes,
region,
yes.
Well, we've got DOT satellites that are capable of reading the newspaper highlights.
You've got it.
Wouldn't it seem feasible that we could send a satellite like such?
To Mars?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I would ask, if we are going to spend so much money as to send a satellite to Mars, not like the Russians are going to grab it or anything, why not include something with that capability and settle all questions? We could literally almost look at grains of sand. I mean, the military does claim that they can read a license plate from space. No higher in orbit, frankly, we are in now on Mars. And as a matter of fact, with less atmospheric disturbance.
And quite a bit less pollution at that.
Absolutely. An occasional sandstorm, but basically when it's quiet, it's crystal clear. There's not enough atmosphere to make it otherwise.
Well, it just seems like it's, I don't know.
I hear you.
More bureaucracy at work.
I absolutely hear you. Sewage side. Goodbye.
Hey, have a great night.
Yeah, you too. See you later. Suits. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, my name's Sam.
Sam?
Yep.
Okay, Sam, where are you?
I'm in Linwood, Washington.
And how will you illuminate us this morning?
Well, I work for a company called Textron.
Textron?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I go around and do resets in all the Fred Meyer stores in the Northwest.
I'm sorry, you do what?
Resets. Change out old product to new product for my company at the Fred Meyer stores here in the state of Washington.
Okay, I see.
And I've been having to do a lot of work over in eastern Washington in the last 3 months.
Right.
And I've been noticing lately, as I've been going over the Snoqualmie Pass, which is I-90 interstate, and a lot of military vehicles, big semi-trucks, and a lot of Humvee-styled military vehicles.
What do you think's going on?
Well, none of them have any markings of any sort. That's the one thing I found real fishy about them. This last week I was over there, and this last Monday, just this following last Monday, I came across a good-sized convoy. In my return trip over... I ran into another convoy with a bunch of armor personnel carriers on these big semis. And just today, coming out of Tacoma, Washington, I ran into another big convoy with no markings on it, and it was all fuel trucks.
What do you imagine that all this military hardware moving about is for?
Well, I don't really know. All military hardware.
Give me your best guess.
I've been listening to you for a few years, and you know you're always talking about secret government agencies with equipment and stuff. I thought, well, maybe this might be one of those. So, but I was just kind
of. But with what goal, though? I mean, to do what?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I was just wondering if. Anybody out there might have an idea what might be going on.
Perhaps they are preparing to seize Spokane.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I wonder what would they do with it? Let's say they took Spokane.
Well, they weren't even heading that way. They were heading towards Seattle.
Seattle? Oh, well,
yeah,
then.
They're heading west.
Well, then Seattle, that's even a juicier target.
Well, I don't see why they would need to do that since the Seattle area here has quite a few different military installations. And Everett has a major naval port.
Mm-hmm.
So why would they need to take over Seattle?
Well, maybe somebody in Seattle can clue us in.
I don't know. I was just calling to see if anybody out there would have any ideas. I've just been kind of curious.
All right. All right. Well, let's see what they say. I wonder what they would do with Seattle. If our military had complete control of Seattle, what would they do? They'd probably turn the Space Needle into a military weapon. listen, I want to take a moment out as we close out the show this hour in New York City to once again say thank you to everybody in New York City for making Coast to Coast AM in one book. We call it a book, a survey period. One survey period. Coast to Coast AM, number one. In the Big Apple, WABC. My childhood... I worshipped that radio station when I was a child. Now I'm on it. And now I'm number one. So thank you, New Yorkers, and actually people in the western half of the entire country, because that's about where you can hear WABC. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Stay right where you are.